stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 138 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for joining us for another week. Thanks for downloading the show. If you're about to go out for a run, hope we can keep you company for the next period of time, maybe an hour, I reckon, tonight, boys. We'll see how we go. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra, the 93rd fastest person to ever run around the Botanical Gardens in Melbourne. How you going, Bradley Croker?
Not too bad, Brady. How are you?
Yeah, I'm going very well, thank you. A bit dusty, actually. I had a bit of a birthday celebration for a friend up here yesterday, and it's been a very long day today. Can't handle the beers once like I used to be able to. But anyway, going all right. Julian Spence down in Anglesey, the 214 man, the wise man. What's going on in your life?
I'm glad you didn't name my or rank my tan time.
If you're not in the top 100, we don't know about it.
Good. Yeah, good. You don't know about it.
Yeah.
I'm going good. I'm going well. I'm going well.
Just got some life lessons for us again this week, Moose?
I think so.
That's the only reason I've turned up this week, because I haven't run much. So
it could be good for you, you know. Maybe you've got to book in with me and we'll just spend an hour just hashing it out together. I'll give you some life coaching, we call it in the industry, life coaching.
Some very good feedback on your Moose on the Loose last week. Actually, last week's episode in general, some huge numbers and, yeah, a bit of publicity coming in every direction on that episode. We'll see how we go again tonight. See if we can rattle the cage a bit more, eh? Who's going first, Bradley or Moose? Who's talking about their week? Brad, you go.
I'll go. It was a pretty short week. So Monday I got out for 14K out at Mulligan's, 4:21 average. Still had the issue with my hip, particularly at the start of the run. And then we recorded that night, and I remember signing off with, when you asked me what I got coming up, it's like, I'll hopefully run every day this week. And I got up Tuesday morning, and I haven't been doing as many morning runs, but went out to Mulligan's. My Achilles were pretty stiff, as they always are. My hammies were tight, and I started running, and my hip was shit house, and I hobbled for like 25 seconds and went, nah, I'm done. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, why am I doing this? So I turned around, walked back to the car, drove home, and that was all I did running-wise for the week. I was at school then on... So I worked Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday was an absolute battle. Like, I was in so much pain just sort of walking around the place. I was taking ibuprofen just that I got from the supermarket, and that wasn't doing anything. And then it turned around on Saturday. I went and actually got some Voltaren tablets, and I've been smashing them since Saturday lunchtime. And during the week, it's definitely settled. So I can actually hop. So I wasn't able to hop without pain all week. But since I've sort of been on the Voltaren, it's definitely taken the inflammation and the pain away out of my hip. So yeah, I ran for 30 minutes tonight. So I had pretty much a whole week off. Yeah, so... so that was my week, pretty short.
When you're like saying you're walking around school and it's kind of painful, like, rate that pain out of 10.
Probably 5, and like it kept moving around. Like, sometimes it was in my groin, sometimes it was in like the front of my hip, other times I could feel it sort of in my psoas, other times lower back. I got some treatment on Thursday night, and so yeah, I think rest was definitely the best. Like, I didn't really want to take time off because I know that my body does seize up. Yeah, I wanted to sort of keep the ball rolling, but I just figured, like every time I'd been running, the first couple of minutes was pretty painful, which is a sign obviously something's not right. So, I think I made the right call.
Yeah, yeah, you got to know when to give it a break and when to just keep and rolling.
Yeah, yeah. So 14.2K for the week.
Sound like Ali Pashley a bit on the road to nowhere.
Been pretty ordinary month really, because I had that I had a week where I was sick, so I missed. So that sort of broke the streak. And so I didn't do a session that week. And then the following week, I just did the one session, but then the hip started to play up and then sort of missed last week. So, yeah, it's almost sort of been a month now where I haven't been super consistent or really done any sessions. So hopefully I can start to turn that around again now.
So this break in 15 goals put on ice so you can focus on getting better, recover?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I haven't, like, missing a week, like, the fitness is still there, but I do find that I'm a bit rusty for a couple of weeks when I get back into it, especially considering this first week back's probably, you know, like, if I do a session, it won't be till late in the week. Although the fitness is still there, just that that motor pattern and that sort of biomechanical or neuromuscular type sort of feel just isn't quite there, but it'll come back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, with that sub 15 goal, like if there's races on and I'm injury free and running, then maybe I'll go and just pace.
Why don't you just go and do it in your backyard? You could do that any day of the week, I reckon.
What?
Sub 15.
Oh, no, that's like for me. I need to be running pretty well to break 15 minutes.
No, you could do. You did it in a workout the other week.
Yeah, but that was 5 weeks ago now, and I haven't done much in that 5 weeks.
Oh.
He's coming from the guy that ran 14:56 the other week, yeah, and he's raining the house down.
Yeah.
14:50? 14:50. Where did that 6 come from, anyway?
It came from your Strava.
I just think you could do that, no questions asked. You could do that whenever you wanted. That shouldn't be... That's not a goal of yours.
No, it's... You know, the only reason it's a goal of mine is because at the start of the year, I wrote down some goals and I was going so shit that it was basically just, it was dial it right back and say, I just want to get back to the point where I can break 15 minutes for 5K, because at the start of the year, the way my body was and the way that I was moving, like there was no chance. Well, I was running basically 16 minutes. I did a park run. It was 16 minutes. So that was my goal for the year. And yeah, obviously I got to that point where I could have broken 15 minutes, and I probably still can break 15 minutes, but I'm certainly not going to risk, I don't know, getting injured or pushing things to be in shape to break 15 minutes in a couple of weeks. But we'll see.
We'll talk about some 5K stuff at the end of the show, eh? Get your thoughts on that, Bradley. Moose, tell us about your week.
I had a good week, actually. Sorry, Brad. I had a good week. Best week probably since, I reckon, early March.
You always have a good week, though. I don't know how you decide which is a good week and which is a bad week.
How I feel.
Okay.
It's an up and down week, actually. Like, I'll get to the bad ups, the downs. But I ran 8K Monday morning. I kind of get a sleep in Monday mornings because I don't work. Actually, I work, but it's from home, so I can get up later.
Don't so work I just any did... day, do you?
Oh, mate, you would be impressed if you saw my work day. I am efficient. Got out, listened to this new podcast. I think we talked about last week, The Unforgiving 60, which is a couple of SAS guys who talk about lots of different things like leadership and that kind of stuff. I got into it hard and then I'm off it quick. I'm real up and down. I'll get back on it eventually because I'm doing these commutes. I'm getting into the podcast stuff, but sometimes like what happens is I listen to a podcast like that where they might mention a certain topic and then all of a sudden in my head I go off on these tangents where I remember or I like it sparks a thought and then 20 minutes later I'm like, I haven't listened to a single thing for 20 minutes. I've just thought about my own shit. So I'm not actually listening to the podcast anymore. It's just playing in the background. Sometimes I read like that, like before I go to sleep, if I'm reading a book and then something triggers me in the book and then I think about something myself and I just keep turning pages And then I'm like, what the fuck's happening in this book? I don't even know. So then I go back three pages and like put the bookmark back and do the same thing the next night.
It's getting deep again, Brad. 8 minutes in. starting to talk about how his brain operates.
Well, I don't think anyone will be able to unpack that. That afternoon, went out for a trail run. So I put some, did I put trail shoes on? Yeah, I did put trail shoes on and went out and just ran some mountain bike tracks around town with Bree on the e-bike. So that's the e-bike weighs 20 kilos. It's got a motor on it, so it's not light. It can get up a hill okay, but the technical stuff's pretty difficult for Bree, but we had fun. I rolled my ankle, which, you know, it's one of those times, you know, when you roll your ankle and immediately you're like, fuck, that hurt. And 2 minutes later you think, oh, I don't feel it anymore. But then later on, it starts to hurt again. That's what happened here. I was a bit worried about it, kind of pissed off. You know, if you get injured, that's not an overuse injury. I always feel like I'm disappointed when that happens, because at least overuse injuries, you've worked for it. The ones where you roll your ankle or you kick your, like, stub your toe or drop a treadmill on it. They're the ones that work.
You fall and smack your knee on a rock like I did the day after my first race last year.
That's right. That's that kind of injury is worse, harder to handle than an overuse one, I reckon. Yeah. The next morning, got up early, ran with Bree. She's back to running like 25 minutes, 30 minutes now. So that's fun. We can do our easy runs together through Anglesey. And then drove up to Ballarat, had a big work day, and then got out for a workout with Collis. So he was back in town doing some work in Ballarat. He's building like a bathroom for his auntie or something. But we did five. So the plan, right, was five by a mile. The miles were supposed to go 5 minutes, 4:45, 5 minutes. How many is that?
That's 4:45. Yeah.
4:45, 5 minutes. But then we were like, oh, it's bloody windy. Not sure what's going to happen. We don't actually know how fit each of us is. So we decided to just sort of wing it a little bit. And the first one was 4:53. So 7 seconds too quick. Like before that session began, I was like, this is a little tough for me. I don't think I'll be able to handle that. So I said I'll just keep up for as long as I can. This is the kind of, like, for me, having Collis in town, I just changed my workout that I had on my program because that's worth it. You know, you don't go out if you got someone like Collis there doing a workout and say, oh, but I had a different workout, so I'm just going to do this on my own and you go do your session on your own. I think that's important to be able to be flexible with a group. But yeah, so I heard his session, I thought, I'll try to do it. It's a bit hard. So that first mile, it put me under the pump a fair bit. And then what really put me under the pump was we had 60 seconds rest between them, but his rest was floating at 4:08 pace. Whereas my idea of rest in that workout was standing still, trying to get my breath back. So we got about 20 seconds into the rest and I look up and I'm like, what is happening? Like, I thought we were supposed to rest. And he's like, oh yeah, jog rest. Like, this isn't fucking jogging. This is 4:08. I'm cooked. And so, but then the next mile, 4:41. So we've gone 4 seconds too quick on the next mile. All of a sudden, like, that's my workout kind of done. Because then the next minute rest was 4:07 pace. So we're into halfway through the workout. And then Cole's starting to kick away from me a little bit in these reps. So 4:55, again, too quick. He was probably 3 or 4 seconds up the road on that one. This is where I took the proper rest here, like 5:40 pace. I had to get my heart rate down. Then went 4:53, so I was 8 seconds slower on this rep than it should have been. And 4:55 jog, and then 5 minutes, actually the last rep of the day was the only one that I hit that I should have. But good workout in the end. So he kicked, Collis kicked away on the third, fourth and fifth by a few seconds each rep. It was his first workout where he really tested himself since coming back. He's doing a bit more running now. I think he said he's about 10 weeks of consistent training. And I average like 3.87K at 3.11s, which pretty good. I was happy with that workout, especially some of those, especially doing it the hard way, like cooking myself early.
It's unlike you, Moose, getting sucked into running, I guess, sessions too hard and blowing up a bit.
Well,
call it's factor, not, Brad.
It's not getting sucked. It's having someone there. I'm like, I haven't really had a crack in a lot of workouts lately, so I gave myself a bit of a license to go for it in this one. And it, like, I backed up, like, he was dropping me. I wasn't, like, I was realizing my limits, that's for sure.
Gave myself a license to go for it. Like, 2 days earlier, you had a 5K time trial that you were pussy and you didn't go for it.
Help the boys out, mate. Help the boys out.
Jeez, you've been copping some shit about that as well. Huh. With Collis, this postponement of the Tokyo Olympics, this could work right in Collis's favour. He could get fit and make the marathon team.
Halfway through the workout, I'm thinking, fuck, if I think I'm a chance to make any sort of team or run any sort of qualifying time, the bloke like 5 seconds in front of me is probably way more chance than I am. So yeah, I agree with you.
Didn't you say you just did it in heavies as well? Like, no warm up in heavies, straight into it?
Warm up, heavies, no strides, no drills. Just like, hey, are we starting? Yep, cool. I said, oh, it's getting a bit dark. Like, oh yeah, it's all right. I'm like,
what were you wearing?
I had the Saucony Endorphin Pros on.
Ooh,
yeah,
big dogs.
Oh, like, what do you want?
He was giving himself a chance to go hard, Brad.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, pretty funny. On the warm-up, there was an incident. Never seen that before. Won't go too far into it. But I've never seen anything like it before. The matter's with the police now, so we'll just leave that one alone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Eventually, we'll be able to tell the story, have a giggle about it, but not yet.
There's a bit of violence.
What happened next? Yeah, the next morning he was still in town, Cole. So we ran 16K over the hills, which was kind of tough doing a late night session hard and then running the hills again, 407. So kind of hard for me, but good to get it done. Jogged in the afternoon before driving back to Anglesey. Thursday morning, did a jog in the morning. Then Bree and Ali came out on the mountain bike with me on Thursday Arvo, and that was real fun. So we got around the more mountain bike tracks, a lot of trail running at the moment, so a lot of single track stuff. It's been just quite fun, enjoyable. Don't worry about heart rate or pace or anything. Those guys are terrible on the mountain bike, by the way. It's a little embarrassing watching that happen. Next day, I had a real shit sleep. So this night, yeah, didn't sleep at all. There was a bit, I don't know what it was, but basically like had real bad kind of anxiety. You know how I talked about how I could never sleep and I just had all like thoughts like rush through your head at like a million miles and you can never relax? And that happened for the first time in months this evening, like the Thursday night. And so I didn't sleep at all and I woke up full, like just tired, super down, like the lowest of lows in terms of mood. And I got out for a jog. The jog was okay, but I was supposed to do a workout that morning. There was no chance that I could. And I was really like, I guess the best way to describe it is being down. Like it's hard to describe flat, like totally lack of energy. Like you feel quite useless. Like you can't get the motivation to do anything and you feel like just kind of sad and it's a really weird feeling, but it's not a very good feeling. I have had it before. It's been gone for a long time. It was a bit of a shock to me that it came back for no apparent reason, but it was back. But then I ran in the afternoon, so I did a workout out on this road around a farming area, so out in the rural sort of area behind Torquay, Balbray. It's called Paraparat, and Ellie came out on the bike, ran with a couple of guys from Ballarat, and I had a really good workout. So I ran 12K tempo, and I was aiming to run 3:15s, but like once I started, I just felt like unstoppable almost for the first 5K. Almost exactly the 5K mark was all uphill, and at that point I'd run like, I think I went through 16:38, and then after that just dropped away and sort of ran flat or very light downhill for the rest, and then like I dropped like splits 3:03, 3:05, 3:06, 3:05, 3:04, 3:02. 3:05, and I was talking to Ali like we were just having a conversation, like we were out on an easy run. That was the best workout I've had since March when I did that 30K at like 3:16s or whatever. This was the best one since then because of how good it felt. But and then I got back in the car after the cool down, and all of a sudden I was just super fucking flat again. Literally just sat in the car for about 10 minutes, like just totally down, and I just could, like, it's amazing how when like you're so low mentally, but then you can perform physically so well. And I think you see that with a lot of, like, you know, a lot of professional sports people have mental health problems, and we see it a lot in distance running, is that you wouldn't really know they have it, but it's going on behind the scenes, and you think, oh well, if you're so sick or you're so well, we call it unhealthy, like mentally unhealthy. How do you perform? Well, it seems like it might not have the biggest effect on performance. You can still get out there and perform the task when required, but like day-to-day life around it becomes really difficult.
Have you thought about seeing anyone, Moose, or have you seen anyone about it?
No, like I just talked about it. I've actually got a few people that I talk about it with now that's really helpful, and Bree's one of them. So I guess we just chatted through it, and all of a sudden, like by that evening, I felt a lot better, and the next day got up for like really early for a run. It's, for me, it's not something that goes on for a long period in a row. It's like more like a roller coaster, and it's not something that has ever. Like this is, for me, it's super mild, right? So I know there's like some pretty severe sort of cases, and people struggle with this like their whole life or whatever, and it never goes away. But for me, it was like one day that was terrible, and then the next morning, actually, I get to go deep on you here, right? You'll enjoy this. But I go out for a run, and I'm listening to a podcast. It's pitch black, running through the trails. It was super still. No wind or anything, and I'm listening to this podcast about a guy who's talking to me through the podcast about how people are disconnected now from like social media and their phones always being in their face. It's it's ruining any type of experience or social or connection they're getting with the person in front of them. Because there's always something like buzzing in their pocket or vibrating, or there's always distortion in their head as they're wondering what's happening outside of that moment. And you've seen it, like I'm sure you guys have seen it before, or you've experienced it where you're talking to someone and they might get a message in the middle of a conversation you've had it, and they just totally fucking leave the conversation and look down at their phone.
Does my head in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and you're like, how am I supposed to feel like you're interested or connected to me at this point when you're just totally ignoring what I'm saying because there's something else that's just grabbed your attention? And I'm a guilty party in this.
Like, yeah. Well, what about when you feel your phone like vibrating in your pocket and you're talking to someone and then your mind starts going to, oh, I wonder who that was from or wonder what that is? Like, and you're still trying to, like, you're not making it obvious because you're still trying to talk to someone face to face, but your mind goes and then you got to bring it back.
Exactly right. And I get it on my watch, so it sends a notification to my watch, right?
Yeah.
And then I try to almost sort of sneak a look at my watch to see what's just happened. And at the same time, the person I'm sort of conversing with, like, thinks I'm looking at the watch. It's almost ruder because they think that I've got to be somewhere and this is taking up their time. Like, it's terrible. It really is. So now, like, it's been a real eye-opener. Like, just, I'm like, you turn that shit on Do Not Disturb and you just let it go. And we just, like, if I'm with someone, like, I'm with someone. That's what my goal is now. It's one of the things that I want to change, is to be able to actually, like, connect with people that I'm in the moment with. Anyway.
I recently got a new phone, and when I changed phones, I made sure that I didn't turn, like, all the notifications on for most things. So, like, emails, so now I actually go into my emails and check them rather than, like, the alert coming up on my screen all the time.
Yeah,
so good. Much better. Like, just put two 30-minute blocks aside at the start and the end of the day to check emails, and that's the only time I open up my emails.
Do you feel like it's kind of like maybe back in the day when people would go away and not have reception at all, and or, like, you leave work and no one can contact you?
Mm.
Now you leave work and work goes with you everywhere you go, in your pocket, on your phone, on your computer. Like, there is no switching off.
And everything's got to be, I was talking to Zachary about this the other day, everything has to be instant. So when you open a message and people have seen that you've seen that message, then you feel like you've got to reply. Otherwise, it's like, oh, I feel like I'm being rude or something. Like, it's, yeah. It's
100%. This, yeah. And exactly.
So, and the person probably doesn't even give a shit if you don't reply. But it's, no, you put I that know. Own pressure on yourself.
And I feel like it's bad service, like, from a business perspective, to almost ignore someone who's trying to connect with the business. But it's fucking 9:30 on a Sunday night. Like, it shouldn't be contactable almost. It's just changed the dynamic of how people operate. And for me, I think it is one of the things that that I need to, like, really work on, is removing that kind of always this stress of there's a customer there in my head, like, at any given time, and always just sit, there's a customer sitting there on my phone at any time of the night or whatever. It's not great.
The flip side of that is that's also probably why you're a successful business. So where does that line come in?
That's exactly right. That's why I said, I'm like, yeah, but I want to provide that service where if someone asks me a question, I'm going, bang, I can tell you the answer. Or you want a pair of shoes, this shoe, I can tell you if I got it or not. Like, yeah. I think from a health perspective, it's not good, and I've got to prioritize that rather than a business perspective.
Yeah, get a flip phone. How good would one of those be? Just calls and text messages.
Oh yeah, just go off the grid.
Yeah.
But anyway, during this run, one of the things was, like, talking about how we listen to music and we listen to stuff in our head when we're out there exercising, and you're really not getting that sort of connection that people in the past have, or, like, the benefit of being out exercising is almost being ruined by the fact that you've still got shit going on in your head, in your ear, through earbuds and podcasts, and you've got your phone with you and everything. So I just ripped these earbuds out, and within 5 minutes, I'm like, holy shit, I can hear, like, 12 kookaburras. There's a bloody kangaroo next to me in the bushes that I would never have heard. I can hear all the ducks in the river. And I'm like, this is fucking amazing. Like, seriously, this is, like, a moment of awakening. Like, for me, this is what I should be doing every morning. I should be sort of, like, taking this in. This is the connection I need. I don't need connection to a fucking podcast while I'm out running. I need a connection to one of the best trails in the country that I'm running on.
Just over 18,000 people.
Not good for business, Moose.
18,000 people. Just pause the podcast.
Oh, yeah, shit. There's time and place, you know. But for me, like, that 20 minutes was up there, and, like, that was one of the top five moments, I reckon, of my life, running that 20 minutes. And perhaps it was because I was coming from such a shit place the day before, where all of a sudden I was just, like, just feeling the love, for where I was, like for what's around me.
Something's going on here, Brad. Something's going on with Moose. He's getting enlightened or something. There's big changes happening down there.
I don't know, but I know his weekly recaps are getting up there with Nick Earls.
I got to make it up early tonight. I've got to do two people this week, Croker.
Yeah, true. I didn't offer much.
Oh, that's right. So I'm trying to make up for all your emotional stuff, which I think I'm doing, and then all the running as well. But anyway, went to work that morning, felt great. Like, good way to start the day, trail running. Soul running, I call it.
And it was blue collar as well. Like, it's probably the most blue collar thing I've seen from you lately, running at 6:10 a.m.
I've never seen anything that early from you on Strava.
6:10 a.m. got to work and then got home at 7:30 p.m. and then I had a run that was on the program and I'm like, oh, I really want to run this, but then I also think that's a bad decision considering how fucked I am right now because of like the 3-hour drive during the day, massive day in the store, Saucony endorphins released, had a Morton 2-for-1 deal was going nanas, busy day in store. I'm like, nah, I think I'm a bit cooked. Probably can this second run. Woke up the next day, went to Torquay, had a solid group, such a good group. Met at the foreshore in Torquay, did 30K. We got moving towards the end as well. We had people turn around at different points. Actually, Dave McNeil, name drop, Dave McNeil come for a run with the group. He was funny. He's coming off the back of that tan race where he smashed it. And yeah, a couple of footy players out there, 30K, they ran at 4:08. That was pretty impressive. The boys from Ballarat were still pretty fit, hoping the season doesn't go ahead. Yeah, I got the water up.
There's a lot of talk on these Strava things here about like a hard group and a soft group.
Oh, yeah.
And you look through, some people average 4:30s like Dave McNeil, and you averaged, what, 4:02s. So you mustn't have spent much time with him.
Oh, no. We went out. I think when Dave turned around, we were probably averaging 4:30. He only ran 20K, so he turned around at 10K. And then the hard soft thing, that's another story. But we turn around at 15 at 4:22s and average 4:02s for the run. That means that we've sort of averaged, what, 3:42s or something, 3:44s for the second half of that run. Downhill, though.
Listen to some of those last Ks, Brad. 21st K, 3:38. And then 24, 3:42. And then this is the last 4K, 3:41, 3:44, 3:30, 3:13. Yeah. That is getting into race territory.
If this was me doing this, what would Moose have said?
He would get into, this is why you can't run 2:12 because you do your easy runs too fast, yada, yada, yada. Did Pashley write this on the program, Moose? Like, kick it down?
Or was this just a major flex? Seeing as though Collis smacked you up on Tuesday and your ego took a hit, so this was to...
Got to get back on the podium. But, no, what happened was, I'll tell you how this dynamic played out.
Yeah.
We're moving okay, right? We're moving okay on the way back. Blake Hose, who is actually... Was he our first interview on the podcast? Very number one?
No, that was Trav.
No, Trav.
Oh, yeah, number two maybe, or something up there. But he... He was obviously feeling good because he had a shit 5K the other week. He was one of the ones that dropped off the pack, right? At about 3K, 9 minutes, then he blew up a bit. So he was out to sort of prove a bit of a point, I reckon. Had a bit of chip on his shoulder. So we get coming back, go down a steep hill. This man can run trails like no one else. He is like the trail runner. So he drops us on a downhill. And then it goes into this little dip down the bottom of Bells Beach and a super steep hill. If you look at the elevation profile, we come up a real steep hill at 23K, right? So at 23K, he's just putting some work in to try to get rid of us. Gee, I can't. No, so, yeah, 23K. And I'm like, oh, he really wants to drop us here. Like, I haven't seen this from him before. I like it, though, because I don't mind that, someone having a crack on a long run. And then we get to the top.
Hang on. I've heard other weeks where you've got the shits at people having to go on having a dig on a long run.
Yeah, but they're people that don't run enough. Like
you keep changing every week.
Inconsistencies.
Anyway, this week you're happy for somebody to have a crack on the long run. So what happens next?
I was feeling good on this one. I was feeling real good. And so we head up. All of a sudden the group goes from like 10 people to 3 people. So there's myself, Blake, and Scott Nicholas, who he's bloody fit for, well, he's not the youngest bloke and he doesn't run that much. So he's still there. And we've gone up this steep hill and it turns into a false flat. And after the false flat, we run a 3:42, and I start to move to the front here. And Blake, who has just put the foot on the gas, trying to drop everyone else for the last K, says, "Oh, I didn't realize we were doing a long run workout." Like, and I laughed and I said, "Oh, mate, have a listen to this. You've had a crack the last K, and all of a sudden you're getting the shits when someone else goes to the front." So we slowed down a little bit. Then we get down to about like 27K, and Scott goes to the front and he starts running past people like pedestrians and stuff. And then he sort of seemed to want to drop people. So in my mind, I'm like, hey, you've given me a green light to go for it at the end. So in the end, I don't know, I felt all right. I mean, that's not even marathon pace, Croker. Is it?
No, but you have a go at me when I run I run a 3:30, which is not even marathon pace, which is way slower than marathon pace.
It is marathon pace for you now.
3:13.
3:30.
You're in 3:13 for your last K.
Yeah. Slower than marathon pace, but that's anyway, I had a fun week.
One of the biggest recaps you ever hear, I reckon. How many Ks did you run? Did you go out in the Arvo? You did, didn't you?
Yeah, I went out in the Arvo, ran 7K. Felt good. Got in the ocean after that long run. Yeah. Just such, like, it's real cold at the moment. And it's so invigorating to be in the ocean after one of those runs. It's like you just wipe all the grime off you, cools your body core temperature. It's fun. I like it. I like the ocean, Brady.
Good work, Julian. Good to hear that you're a fan of the ocean.
How was your week, Brady?
My week was good, thanks, Bradley. Kicked it off Monday morning, 16K at 4:21 pace. Easy 30 minutes in the afternoon at 4:32 pace. Easy day on Tuesday as well because I went into work. I moved my workout to Wednesday. So just did 10K in the morning, 10K in the afternoon. Wednesday, went over to Shepparton with Archie. We had a session of 3 sets of 5 300-meter reps, 100 meters walk in between, jog a lap in between the sets. So looking at 15 300s in total there. Instructions were to hit 45 to 47, and we pretty much did. It was 300s. I put it in my Strava description. I'd be interested to hear your boys' thoughts. Like, mentally, I do 300s thinking they're just an extra 100 meters on a 200. And at this pace, it's kind of like, you know, you're going through 200 in 30, 31. So it's not that hard to hit a 30 or 31, 200. And you've only got to hold it for an extra 100 meters. Whereas I think if you think about them as 100 meters short of a 61, 62, 400, that's a whole lot of a harder workout. How do you guys think about it? 300s. You don't think about them. Think about other stuff, Moose.
I like the 200. For me, it's more like a 200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I reckon there was a line there for us. Like when we were hitting the 47s, it just felt like a longer 200. But when we were trying to get down to 45, it felt like you got that lactic just kicks in a bit earlier. And it's probably harder than what it looked like on paper. Like I thought it was going to be pretty easy, but. Yeah, in the end, it's kind of like 4.5K worth of running at, just over 2:30 kind of K pace. I think we averaged 46s. So a lot of fast running in there, and it was good. I feel like I'm actually a bit speedier. I feel like kind of 30 was probably my limit a couple of weeks ago, whereas I think now I could probably dip under 30 seconds for a 200. That was good. Archie trained in the LT streaks because he thought he'd stay away from the next percenters to get a bit more aggression out of him, whereas I went next percenters, and yeah, you can still run fast in those shoes.
Also, like, you should talk about your recoveries as well.
Yeah, they're quite generous, really.
100 metres walk, yeah. Like, that would be like a minute and a half, I think, we'll have it, or a minute 10 kind of thing. It goes pretty quick, though. Like, you finish, obviously, at the finish line there, and then you're walking 100 metres around to where you start the 1,500 metres. And, like, it's generous, but I think you need it in a workout like that. And the lap jog's good because mentally you just go, hey, just focus on getting 5 done. Then focus on getting another 5 done, focus on getting another 5 rather than thinking of it as 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't actually think I could do that workout without the lap jogs in between.
It's at your discretion, the walk. Yeah. So it's 100 meters, but it's not so much like you have to start the next rep now. It's more like start the next rep when you feel ready to run the next rep at 45, 46. So it's designed to let you almost be the boss a little bit, because the purpose of the workout is speed, not backing up with low rest.
Yeah.
So some people might schedule in this workout and give themselves 60 seconds rest, and it might seem like a lot because it's actually like more than 1-to-1 work rest ratio if you gave yourself 60 rest, but it's not like that at all. It's you have to, for this sort of pace work, it has to be like 1-to-2 almost, or 1-to-3.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at ours now. Like, we were pretty much like a minute 25s, a minute 22s around about there. But we weren't even paying attention to that. It was just like walk around, get 20 metres from the line, start a bit of a light jog, and then roll into it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was good to do a bit of speed stuff. Jogged easy in the afternoon on Wednesday, just doing a bit of a shakeout, did 7K at 4:33 pace. Thursday was a recovery day, did 8K in the morning and 12K in the afternoon. And then Friday was our second workout of the week. So we had 2 12-minute reps at like threshold, 3:05 to 3:10 pace, with 2 minutes jog in between. The first 12 minutes, we kind of went out and back. The first 12, we had a bit of a headwind, and I was actually surprised because we still averaged 3:08. So I kind of said to Archie before we start, I'm like, it's okay if we average, you know, 3:12s, 3:14s or something here, because we're going to be going into this bit of a wind. And, yeah, we still hit that pretty easy in that zone. And then we had the tailwind coming home. So we averaged 3:04s, but had to kind of chuck the brakes on a few times. It was Archie's birthday, and he had a bit of a spring in his step. He started dropping me about 9 minutes into the last rep, and I just yelled out saying, not the purpose. This is not a VO2 workout. Like, we start, he would have been rolling about, oh, I reckon 2:55 pace, and I'm just like, nah, pull it back. So, and he's good. He listens pretty quick instead of trying to bury you. So, yeah, the second one we averaged 3:04s, and then we had 3 minutes jog, and then we did 10 by 20 seconds hard with 40 seconds recovery. You kind of give them to us a lot now, Moose, that 10 by 20 seconds at the end of workouts, which is pretty easy because it's only 20 seconds, but at the same time, it still gets you up on your toes and finishing with plenty of speed.
Yeah, well, it's kind of just a little bit layering. It's actually a workout that that Tinman squad do a lot. They just do it on easy runs. But it's something Collis used to do as well, 15 second on, 15 second off at the end of a threshold or a workout on a Saturday. And I kind of like it. It's just real quick gear change, neuromuscular stuff. I think it's good.
Yeah, I like it as well. I like it, yeah. And then it's not that hard. Like, you don't look at it and go, oh, can't be bothered doing this. It's kind of just this fun thing you get to do at the end of a workout. Easy 30 minutes in the Arvo on Friday at 4:40 pace. Pretty heavy legs on Friday, I think, because I'd moved that workout from Tuesday to Wednesday on the track. I kind of had 2 pretty decent workouts in the space of 48 hours. So I was feeling that, so just went super easy on Saturday. Did 15K, listened to the Road to Nowhere guys, just talking bog rubbish. That was pretty entertaining and got me through. And then 7K in the Arvo. And then Sunday, went out to Barmer Forest again with Glenn and Archie, absolutely hammering down rain on the drive out there. And I thought we were in for just a shocking long run where we're going to get drenched the whole way. And we got wet for about the first 10 minutes, and then it cleared up, and then we kind of do this two 55-minute loop. So after we did the first loop, we had a change of clothes and quickly, you know, chucked off the singlet, the long sleeves, and put on some dry ones, new hat, those kind of things. and then did the second loop in the dry clothing and got that done.
That is as white collar as it comes, yeah, Brad.
That's smart, that, don't you reckon? Good strategy. Or Glendinning.
Change of clothing mid-run just because it gets a little bit wet.
Glendinning, actually.
I've never heard of anybody doing that.
Please come to Ballarat. I'd love to see what it's like on a Sunday morning in Ballarat for you.
Glenn didn't actually bring one, and his nipples were starting to chafe, so he just actually did the whole second lap just in his shorts. It was freezing cold, but at least his nipples were in one piece. I reckon that's a smart idea. It was my idea. I told the boys. I said, hey, bring some spare clothes and then we can get changed. Quick stop there. Just go for it. We'll have to say, like, same shorts and stuff, but just the top layers.
Not a thing.
Yeah, just a thing, I reckon. Hashtag, tag me in, whatever you want. Do it next time. 4:14 pace that was, 28K. That was good. The other boys, they kind of left me for the last 15 minutes by myself at the end, which is a bit boring when the others drop off and then you got to get it done. Feels like it goes forever, that last kind of 15 minutes, but got it done. 165K a week, doing a 5K time trial this Saturday. See where I'm at, which would be good. Looking forward to that. Not sure when, where, who with. Probably keep those details private so I don't get in trouble off anyone.
Oh, yeah. Making social media. Oh, mate, we we've been through this. You don't know anybody, anything. No one can tell you what to do.
That's correct. Let's thank some Patreon supporters. Kick us off, Julian. Who you got?
Well, today I have in the blue, Sinead Diver. How about that? Good old Sinead. She's paid for a Patreon.
Yeah, she signed up. Got the email other day. I was like, Sinead Diver. I know this name.
This is what this is. This is good for tax purposes for her.
How you reckon?
So she makes so much money from running that she needs something to offset all that.
When she declares it, yeah.
She could shut. This could be coaching for her. She could. The VIS might pay for this. I reckon she would get allowance for extra like curriculum coaching. And there you go, just like specialist coaching.
Why is it taking her 138 episodes then? Sign up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think she enjoyed us going into bat for her with the with all that, like when AV didn't nominate her for the award, like that was pretty shit. And she appreciated us sticking up for her. Anyway,
do you actually know, is that actually what happened? Because I was trying to figure that out. Because like everyone was given AA a bit of flack, but was it the states that had to nominate the individuals?
I believe
I
so.
I thought it was the states.
Yeah, I definitely know it's the states that have to nominate. But do you know officially that AV didn't nominate Sinead, or they nominated her and then AA didn't accept it?
No, I can't comment on that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know that. That's the answer. I don't know.
Oh, okay. You can't comment because you don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know. So it would just be guessing.
I didn't have any of this stuff written down for Sinead, by the way, listeners. We're going off. Off topic.
Oh, let's give out our PBs though, because this will blow some minds. So 3K 940, 5K 1523, 10K 3125, half marathon 68 minutes 50, which is what in Australia, number three?
Yeah, I'd say I have all this stuff written down in previous shows, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
224.11 for the marathon.
That's number three.
Number three, yeah. Okay. So she can really get going. Inside word, she's an animal on the training track, an IT genius by day, potentially a hacker. She doesn't give much away about her job, but I've also heard she's part-time hacker. We all know she can drink, but she probably gets sick of us bringing that up. Terrible sense of direction, which I can attest to because I've gone for runs with her before. And you'll come to an intersection that is like the most obvious direction where you need to go, and she'll find this half goat track off to the side and think that's the right way to go. Oh no, it's that's happened quite a few times. And she enjoys eating fish and chips, so that's some good inside mail on Sinead, our best marathoner in Australia.
Bradley, who are you thanking?
I've got Beta Janetsky this week. Benita lives in Bentley East in Victoria. She's run 17:49 for 5K, which was at the uni 5K in 2019. She ran 37:43 at Albert Park 10K, 84 minutes at Gold Coast Half, and she also came 10th at the Melbourne Half Marathon in 2018. And for the marathon, she's run 3:19 at Melbourne Marathon in 2013 and runs for Old Xavians. Is that how you pronounce that one? Is that right?
Yeah, that's the red and the black uniform. Dave McNeil's territory.
Yeah. So Zavs. Thanks for your support, Zavs. Beta.
Old Zavs, is that what it's called?
That's what I call it because I don't know how to say the second word.
Yeah, Croker did a good job of that. That's why we give him the hard ones. We've got a fast Patreon thanks today, so I'm going to thank my training partner, Archie Reid from Chuka. PBs on IAAF profile. I think some of these need to be rewritten soon. 8:44 for 3K, 14:39 for 5K, 30:48 for 10K, 67:42 for the half marathon. Drives an Audi, boys. Not sure if you realised that before. He drives this really nice Audi. He gets around in that around Echuca Malamaria. He's pretty much the boss of Brewburger in Echuca. He Echuca's best burgers. So
and a few burgers to drive an Audi.
Yeah, he's doing a good job in there. I did have another fact. Oh, yeah, as I said before, it was his birthday the other day. Turned 19, so he's growing up. Happy birthday for that. Archie, let's talk about...
Got a girlfriend?
Not at the moment, I don't think. Don't answer those questions.
Probably why he's running so well.
Always driving an Audi. yeah, maybe. Yeah, we don't talk about romance stuff too much. Bit of running
music. You're not much shop on the old relationship advice, are you? Like how to get girls. He's not coming to you for that stuff, that's for sure.
Pretty good track record, Moose. Pretty good track record.
He's got other mentors for that.
Yeah. Let's talk about some random running news. Hey, Matthew Ramsden, he ran a 4:55 2K over there in Perth. Last week we got the vision sent to us and we shared it on our Facebook page. It's had 15,000 views, the video. It's pretty cool watching it. He has training partners pretty much jump in and out because no one can keep up with him for longer than a lap. 4:55 is the second fastest Australian time ever behind Craig Mottram's 4:50. Jakob Ingebrigtsen last week also ran 4:50. So that puts a few things in a perspective there. Cool to watch. Obviously, 2K is a distance that they don't race that often, but I liked how they put this on the line. They set it up for people to jump in and out. There's people just like doing 400 meter reps in the background, just kind of on a kind of community track. So it wasn't like everything was shut down just for him kind of thing. And then, yeah, the vision was cool. And he's just such a smooth mover, this guy. Like he just covers the ground, almost looks a bit like Mottram with that height and how easy he makes it look. And it wasn't until we were talking about it on the long run when I think Archie or Glenn, one of the boys, said, you need to think about it. He ran a 3:57 mile and then closed in 58. Like, that's crazy when you think about it like that.
Well, he used to win those under 20 Zatopeks. What was it called? The Di Castello 3K, right? And is it the Di Castello 3,000 metres?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
The under 20, yeah. And he was dropping bombs at the end of those races. And everyone in the stands, this was probably three, four years ago, was just watching him run going, this kid moves so smooth. Like, he just looks class, like a proper class. And people were saying, like, yeah, he looks like Mottram when he runs. That's like, he's tall, he's lean. He's got some like razzmatazz about him.
Yeah,
you know, like he knows he's good and he's not afraid to drop bombs. Yeah.
Yeah. Any more comments on that, Brad? You would have watched a few times to get those view counts up?
Yeah, my comments just that like 1500 meter stocks in this country at the moment are amazing. Like the 1500's come a long way. Like when you think about Sydney Olympics, we had one runner in the men's 1500, and I think he maybe ran 3:39 to qualify for the Olympics, whereas now 3:39 is probably 6th, 7th, like in the country at the moment. So it's things are looking good.
Would have been interesting to see him go around the tan. He would have been very close to Stewie and Jack, I would have thought. Some more kind of unofficial time trial kind of things. Gold Coast Runco, our friends up there. Jacko Elliott sent through these results. Lewis McAfee, our man from the Steig and #1 boys, the male men's captain. He ran 13:59 for a 5K. They reckon they measured it pretty legit, got the wheel out. Elliot McGuigan, he ran 14:14, and Tim Vincent ran 14:17. So a bit of depth up there. The Gold Coast boys putting it on the line, having a bit of a crack, and good to see our man Louis go under 14 minutes. Brad? Brad usually froths on Lewis McAfee, so I was just going to give him the chance there first, Moose.
Yeah, it's the way he's in good shape for another tilt at the Steigen hashtag one. Might be a bit harder to pick up in the draft this year, though.
Yeah, if he starts running those times. You going to say something, Moose?
No. Where's our boy, Geordie?
Ooh.
Nah, he had a shocker. I think we didn't include him in the results.
He'll be back. I haven't written him off.
Maybe he's just running a bit dead to work on his drafting as well.
Good call, actually. Just helping us out there.
Put some bad results in. South Australia, they were back doing some cross-country there. 4K cross-country race it was. And thanks to Athletic South Australia, they sent us through the results straight away after the race on Saturday afternoon, which was really good. It's a bit of depth getting around South Australia at the moment. Matthew Clark won it by 1 second. He ran 10:51 from Adrian Potter, your club mate Brad over there at AH Elite. He was second in 10:52. Isaac Hain, the young fella, 10:54. You might remember if you're a long-time listener, we had Isaac on the show 1 week. I think we sent him some spikes too. I think he might have raced in those spikes. We could take a bit of credit for that, boys, maybe. And our Patreon supporter, Jacob Cox, was fourth in 11:09. So pretty deep over there. And Nitter, our man from Shoe Geeks, he actually won the old man section, the 34 to 49 category. He ran 12:01, Nitter, so he's going all right as well.
Can we comment on the 34 to 49 category? Is that a real category?
If you work for the show, you can. I'm happy. That's why I put that in there.
All right. We won't question it too much. But I'm thinking that the next category outside of open starts more with a 4 in front of it to me.
34. It's a young category, isn't it?
It's a very young category. It's a very generous category for those blokes.
That's why I'm hoping races start up pretty much from August, because you've got that sort of 1 year where you turn 40 until the likes of, I suppose, Benny Saint is a year behind me. So try and do as well as I can as a 40-year-old before the others join me.
Yep, women's race as well was also deep. Izzy Bat-Doyle, she won in 12:33. Jessica Stenson was second in 12:51. And Sarah Eckel was third in 13:06. So pretty close racing there. I guess over 4K, they don't give him much time to spread out. That would be Jess's first probably serious race post-baby back, I'd say. I remember she did that 3K on the track. But this would be our first kind of state-level kind of hit out. So some good stuff happening in South Australia. Obviously, their COVID cases are down and their business as per usual.
Yeah, well, they are, aren't they? They've, like, how good was it to see a cross-country race go ahead? Like, that was, I wish they filmed it. I would have watched that. Was there a video footage?
No, I don't think so. I think cross-country is a bit hard to, like, get live stream kind of stuff, like getting around the course and things like
that. They used to do it like on the real smooth shit in like the US. They'd have that golf cart up the front.
Yeah.
And you'd have to roll at like 25K an hour on a golf cart to get the lead pack.
Course looked good though. Like they were going through some puddles and some mud and stuff there. It looked like a pretty technical kind of good cross country course, which was good. And also another event that's popping up. This is a virtual event. I was just checking Instagram before. This Steigen 3K. You boys seen this promo last kind of 2 or 3 hours?
Yeah. I saw it pop up and I thought, okay, well, the kings of going outside the official channels and the kings of like breaking the mold of traditional organizations for athletics have come at it again.
And it was funny, like, when I saw it as well, like, I hadn't even thought, like, oh, where's Steigen the last kind of 6 or 8 weeks? But then when it popped up, I was like, oh, yeah, here they are. They've been thinking about this. They've been busy. They're putting on a world 3K race with $5,000 US dollars. Yes, you heard that correctly. For the prize money. So the fastest male is going to win $2,000 US, fastest female, $2,000 US. And then they're going to throw an extra $500 US for each male and female if you happen to be the fastest wearing Steigen kit, I guess it is. Bonus 500 USD if winning athlete is wearing Steigen. So this is going to get a lot of attention, worldwide attention, isn't it? Like, we're going to see Americans having a crack at this and stuff, you reckon?
Well, why not?
Exactly.
It's like free money for the like those guys. You've got someone like, oh, let's just say...
what about the Ingebrigtsens?
Yeah, the Ingebrigtsens. What about the Tinman squad in America? Like guys that like have a big social media profile that could get all over this.
Yeah, Centro.
Centro, yeah, 3K. And there's some rules in there as well. I'll read the rules out. So it must be on an athletics track. Then you have to do 3,000 metres. You must do it in the month of July. So I like that as well, that we can kind of just play along the next 4 or 5 weeks and just see who's on the top of the... on the top, and just yeah, kind of keep track of what time you got to beat. It can be part of a group run or on your own. Athletes can be paced by males or females. Athletes may take as many attempts as they wish. So because it's 3K, you can kind of you know, some people can have a shot of that every week in July if you reckon you're a chance for it. It's cool. It's innovative. It's interesting. It's going to keep people talking, and it's I don't know. It's not Steigland's responsibility to do events like this, but once again, they've come up and had a good crack at it.
Yeah, they've stepped up when others haven't, and it was quite a real contrast because I was scrolling through my Instagram and I saw about fucking 12 posts from the organisations who are kind of like promoting their whatever their podcast that's basically just like explaining why they're doing nothing, and then there's someone like Steigen who comes along and they're promoting actually getting out there and doing something like this. It's just incredibly the difference, and it's going to like, oh, it's going to be amazing to watch. I think if the right people get behind this and start promoting it, like the real big players, it will spread and it will be like such a viral like event, competition, promotion, campaign, whatever. How good's it going to be watching a group of 5 or 6 guys in different parts of the world just go at it over 3K?
Yeah.
Just, and knowing that there's $2,000 on the line. And what, you put a pair of Steigen socks on, boom, there's an extra $500.
Yeah, and even like because in the verification you must have a video of it in full. So now all of a sudden I'm sure Steigen's going to have this whole library of content of people running 3Kers that they'll be able to share with their audience as well, and we can watch people doing time trials that are only going to last 8 minutes or probably quicker once these 7:30 and 7:40 guys do it. So in a way, now we're going to have all this coverage of the sport that we can watch when there's no Diamond Leagues and all this other stuff
how
on.
Cool.
Even like, I just know I had a message off Archie before. He's like, can you please ask Moose if we can do this in July? And it's like, that would be happening in every training group in Australia.
Yep, for sure. Oh, once it goes viral, it'll be happening everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Because 3K is not enough where you need to put in like some sort of specific block of training, really, like just for a once-off time trial. And you can do a long run the next day and it's not going to mess you up too much. And you're going to get 1,500 guys go at it, and you're going to get marathoners go at it.
We can see Stewie and Jack.
MTC do it?
I really hope so.
Most of those guys did Steigen #1. How good would it be if you're seeing like Williams, Payson, you know, or say Williams takes the first 1K and then Jack takes the next 2K and really sets it up for Stewie to run like a super, like he could break the Australian record.
Yeah, and
on Australian soil.
It's like professional runners around the world at the moment, their paychecks are getting cut. Like they're missing events. They're missing prize money opportunities. They're missing appearance fees. So they get the opportunity to have a crack at $2,000 US. So what's that, like $3,000 Australian or something? All of a sudden, fucking bang, this could be a good little payday for the boys or the girls.
And the girls,
I mean,
as well.
The girls, like same deal. Like
Jen Gregson.
Going to get those 800 ladies coming through? Like, are you going to see someone like Katrina Bissett step up, run longer? Or are you going to get someone like Sinead come down and have a crack at it? Who knows?
Yeah, you know who we're going to see absolutely cash in here, I reckon? Jess Hull. 3K, she's got the 15 speed, she's got the 5K strength. She will light one up, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah. And just on this, like, people will call us out a little bit on, well, why are you having a go at this organisation? It's clear the government's got rules in place to stop anything happening. Well, it doesn't mean that we sit back and do nothing, right?
Mm.
It doesn't mean that you can't be creative and you can't like try to find opportunity in all this. instead of just sort of coming out and saying, oh, we're not allowed to do anything. Well, yeah, you are. You're allowed to be creative. So why don't you get down, send like the promotion crew that's doing all the social media promotioning of a podcast and go and film someone's workout. Show us what the athletes in your state do on a day-to-day basis. Go and film Katrina Bissett running her workout. Show every youngster in the country what it takes to be a professional athlete. For Athletics Victoria, like, this is your athlete. Go and film them, pump them up, promote them. Like, support your athletes and support the juniors coming up by showing them how to train. Like, this is what it takes. This is what these runners do. Inspire them. Like, what are we seeing? We're not seeing any of that, are we? Imagine putting that effort and that promotion into, like, inspiring people. And grabbing, like, this at the moment, these kids, they're not playing footy, they're not playing netball, they're not playing soccer, they're not going to the gym, they're not for a while there, they weren't swimming, triathlon wasn't a thing because the pools were shut. You could basically provide examples of what it looks like to be a runner coming through the ranks, and nothing.
Like, also love how that 18 minute podcast has got more promotion than what Zatopek would have got last year when they put it on.
Even, like, let's just start from scratch, though. Like, why can't we see that stuff? Why isn't that a thing? Why can't... It frustrates me because we have all these athletes that are continuing to work their ass off. We have all these juniors coming through, these new athletes in the sport. I've got footy players running with me right now that are doing 30K long runs, 408s, right? Who the fuck can do that?
Yeah.
These guys are hoping the season gets cancelled so that they can turn to running for the rest of the year. And provide them something. Like, these are the people that we need in. They don't need to hear, like, why we can't do this, why we can't do that. Give them something. Provide them. Give them a 3K. Do what Steigen did. Go, all right, okay, let's going to do a 3K time trial. We're going to film people doing this, our elite athletes. We're going to show you a training session for it. Like education, like, fuck.
Yeah, even it's interesting because I see it as like a blank canvas now. So when the government stuff do lift their restrictions, are they just going to say, well, we're going to do a, let's say, I'm expecting this is what's going to happen, which would be disappointing. They'll go, we're going to do a 3-race AV winter series, and it's going to be Sandown, Gels Park and Albert Park or something like that. Like, it's going to be the same thing we've always had, but just a shortened version. Like, what are they going to put on to get the MTC guys there, to get, you know, them opportunities to make some money, to get it looking different and innovative and cool and pivoting in a new direction, not just rolling out the same thing, a shortened thing of the same thing that we've been doing year in, year out. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I could get it if those guys were put off, guys, like the AV squad was put off, or the AA squad were put off work, you know, like, because there was... no funding or whatever, like they couldn't get paid and so they were stood down, then that's a reasonable explanation for nothing productive to be happening. I'm not sure whether that's happened.
That your moose on the loose though?
No, look, that wasn't supposed to go that way. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to see Katrina Bissett smashing a workout? And we see it from Tempo Journal, like they're doing it.
How was that video, the tan one?
So fucking good, right?
Yeah.
So everyone's talking about that. Everyone's going, this is running, like, oh, this is going to get people running. Why can't we see that from our anyway? And I feel like we've given this enough fucking air already. Like,
yeah, let's move on to listen to question, Brad.
Yep.
All right, this week's listener question comes in from Gemma Crichton. Hey guys, just wanted to ask a question about strides. I'm a social runner and see people of all paces and talents throwing strides in their training. I wondered what the best time to do them is, for example, during, at the end or beginning of a run, in hard runs or jogs. Also, what is the main focus? Is it speed or form? And how long should they last for? Would they be useful for anyone to do them during their training, even if you're a social and not fast runner? Cheers, guys. Loving the weekly and bonus content. Keep up the good work.
Good question. You go first, Supercoach.
I love strides. I think they're like money for jam. There's no risk to doing strides at all, but there's a lot of benefit to it. And the benefit I'm talking about, like at the end of a run, so the way that I'll do them, I'll do it in multiple ways, but strides as a definition for me is about 6 to 8 reps of probably 80 meters, 60 to 100, probably 60 to 100 meter fast run throughs. So we'll call them run throughs maybe, where for me, like I start off and it's a gradual building of pace from the start of the stride to the finish, where I might finish and my pace might be around 3K pace. And then by the end of, like by number 8, everything, you've warmed up a lot. You're feeling like a lot looser or a lot more explosive. And I might run like 800 meter pace as an example for the last 3 or 4 strides. And this isn't a workout that builds fitness as what most people think fitness is. It's more a neuromuscular task. So we're building muscle patterns and we're trying to fire the neuromuscular system before we either A, start a workout or at the end of an easy run. So we're getting the body used to and we're practicing running fast. And if we can practice running fast and do that more often, then when we come to a race or a workout, then the body can achieve that muscle pattern or that neuromuscular pattern much more easily because it knows what to do. And we're doing things like improving ground contact time, certain elements, we're getting more explosive off the ground. So practicing sprinting and form during sprinting can definitely help us maintain form when we're trying to go faster during a race as well, especially towards the end. If we're getting explosive with our strides, like sometimes Brad, I know you do them up a hill, 10 second strides, then we can sort of involve the recruitment of different muscles like glutes and hamstrings when we're doing the more explosive. So there's lots of reasons, like lots of good benefits to it. And the important thing is to not to do, like to give them proper rest between. These aren't things that are designed to build fitness. So when I'm doing them with a heart rate on, I'll do the stride and then I'll wait till my heart rate goes way down before I start the next one. Because I'm not interested in running them, being out of breath or anything.
Mm-hmm. Do you think though, Moose, like sometimes you'll give me like, probably not too much, but do you think, would you put strides on a full recovery day? Like say you've done a workout on the Tuesday, would you put strides in at the end of an easy run on a Wednesday?
Sometimes I like strides because they're more like, they can be like active stretching as well. I wouldn't not do that. Sometimes I do them like the morning before a workout to get myself primed for the afternoon. Sometimes I do them on like you said, an easy recovery day because I feel like it's more like a stretching process. Like my body's going through a greater range of motion and I'm putting like the muscles under a little bit more stretch and I feel so much better at the end after doing strides, so much less tight and stiff and proppy. So it does. Yeah, you get it, especially through the hips.
I've heard Nick talking about that as well. He said, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, like if he's ever on a jog and he feels like just like he's not covering the ground real well, feels a bit sluggish, he'll pretty much like stop mid-jog, do 3 or 4 strides, and then the second half of it will feel amazing because he's like activated and just opened up a bit. And yeah, it was similar to what you're talking about now. Anything else, Brad?
Covered most of it. I think one mistake some people make is treat them like full on, like all out sprints where you still need to control your form. Like as you said, Moose, like you might get down to 800 meter sort of pace or effort, which like if you're running an 800, you're not sprinting the whole way. So you want to focus on good form while doing it and you want to run fast, but also think relaxed rather than really sort of tensing everything up. And another thing I find is after an easy run, I still like to do a bit of stretching or a few drills before I start. Otherwise, the first few are absolute rubbish. So you do want to have, I find, if you've got the time, have a decent warm-up and also a bit of activation stuff before you start. But yeah, each one will generally get a little bit quicker and you'll feel better. Like the first couple generally feel pretty rubbish, but it takes about 4 or 5, I find, to start to feel good.
The older you get, the more it takes.
Yeah, but also I think they're really good bang for your buck. Like, there's a lot of people there that do a lot of long, slow mileage or long, like threshold runs, tempos, and not a lot of pure speed work. But if you throw in strides a couple of times a week and you're in good aerobic shape, those strides in themselves can actually bring you up another level in terms of competing over some of the shorter distances.
Yeah, it just gets your body ready and working at that pace, doesn't it? It's like doing an extra workout without the recovery needed from it. Like, it doesn't knock you around, but your legs know how to go fast. So then when it goes from, so for example, if I do strides, I'd probably do them at, say, you know, 1500 3k pace, but then when I go back to doing 5k work, like, you know, 68 69s on the track, that feels quite comfortable because I'm used to going quicker.
Definitely. Which is but really you haven't good. But you haven't had to wait, you haven't, it's not that, not that speed work's a waste of a day, but you haven't had to give up a day's worth of sessions for these strides or this speed work. You just done it on the end of an easy run.
Yep.
And so you finish that feeling like you haven't even done a session.
Whereas, and if I hadn't been doing those strides, then you try to jump into 5K work, and if that's the fastest thing you're doing, all of a sudden that's a bit of a shock to the body, and it feels a bit harder. Hope that answers your question, Gemma. Thanks for your support over there on Patreon as well. Moose on the loose?
Oh, Moose on the loose. Nah.
Moose's life tip of the week or something?
How about we, yeah. So
walk straight into that, Brad.
I just wanted to sort of mention something I think is interesting. This happened on the long run, right, on the weekend, and I think it's really good for people. Like, it takes a while to work this out, but so we're going along on the long run, right? We're ticking along, Blake's dropping me up a hill. I'm thinking, holy fuck, this is hard. I'm starting to struggle. And then we get to a point where Blake looks over and goes and gives away the fact that he's sort of feeling it by kind of complaining about the pace a little bit. And I mean, this is a training run, it doesn't mean shit, so I don't care. And it didn't matter to him either. But it sort of reminded me of this time when I was in a race and it was a trail event actually. And I rocked up hungover, I was dehydrated, it was shit, felt like garbage. And this bloke that was probably fitter than I was at the time, who should have beaten me on the day, we went up a hill, and at the top of the hill, I was about 5 seconds away from getting dropped, right? And just sort of submitting to the race or to the, and this bloke looked over at me and said, oh, I'm fucked after that hill. And all of a sudden in my head, I'm like, okay, well, now's the time where I go, like, this is a great time to surge and drop this bloke, right? But what I think happens a lot is where people, when they're starting to feel the pain and the suffering, is that they try to draw others in to make themselves almost like feel better about hurting. If you guys ever found that, like when it's starting to get hard, you'll find people, some people more than others, will reach out almost like they're insecure about feeling like it's really hard, and they want other people to almost sympathize with them at the time.
Me personally, I'm the opposite. I if I'm hurting, I'm not going to tell someone.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
Like even if it is a training run, like on some of those runs with like Josh Johnson, I'd be like, I'm working pretty hard on this long run. Like, yeah, we're moving along. If he wasn't here, I wouldn't be running this quick. But I'm not going to tell him I'm hurting. I'm just going to back that. You know, once we get to an hour 45, that's when I'll come into my own. So I'll just keep hanging on till then.
That's the point that I'm making, is that he's probably at that exact same time thinking, damn, this is bloody hard. I'm about a minute away from getting dropped here. But neither one says anything.
Yeah.
Whereas
there was one. So, and this is, and exactly what you're saying, we got to like the 25K mark and we're going up this hill and he's like, yeah, I'm pretty cooked now. I'm like, well, fucking serve yourself right, because you've been like making me hang on for the last hour 45. And then I had this like second wind.
Yeah. But for me, the learning point was, no matter how bad you're feeling, the person next to you, who at that time, because you're feeling insecure, you think they feel amazing, they're probably feeling just as bad, if not worse than you. And they might even be like a lot closer to dropping off than you are. So never give that away. So it's almost like poker, right, out there. And some runners do it because they are insecure, I think, and the more secure runners will play their cards a lot closer to their chest. And I think that's like a tactical thing. And it's probably something to like where you can take everywhere. Like say on the footy field, you line up next to a bloke, you're nervous as shit. You're looking over, you're thinking this bloke's, he's a better footballer. He looks so poised and he's so confident. Where at the same time, that bloke in his head might be going, oh, I've got a sore leg. Like I can barely run on this thing. I feel like shit. This guy next to me is a much better player than I am. You don't know what they're thinking. So I think it's like you can't predict what someone next to you is actually thinking.
I should actually comment though, on the flip side of that, like that's great advice for a race, but during training, like there's a time where to say like this is too hot and I'm not going to just, you know, keep burying myself because my training partner is still there if you realize that it's too hot for what you want to do in training.
This is definitely a racing only thing.
Yeah.
This is a competition thing. But it's the same with everything though. Like you're standing there, the person next to you, probably in exactly the same situation as you are and thinking the same things, having the same self-doubt, having like the same insecurities that you are at that same time. And you don't like, yeah, I just, that's one of the great things I reckon about sort of sport and running, and that is that everyone's feeling very similar things. Some are better at showing it than others.
Well, Brady, I hate to bring this up, but Albert Park last year, when I caught up to you and then you sat on me for that few K, I thought, oh, he's probably going to pull away here. And then when you actually made your move just before we got, so we're going around the back of Lakeside.
Yeah,
I remember you then surged past me, and I was so close to yelling out, "You fucker!" Like you sat on me for the last K or whatever. But then you only surged for like 5 meters, and I'm like, "Oh, that wasn't much of a surge." So he must be cooked as well. And so that then gave me the second wind. But yeah, it comes back to that mentality of, well, if you'd actually surged an extra 5-10 meters, then I probably would have given up.
Yeah, but I was that cooked. I probably shouldn't have been surging anyway, Brad. But instead of showing my cards, I just think I've got a full like loaded deck of aces or whatever, and I just go, I'm just going to roll out here, and then I start surging, and nothing comes out. So at least, yeah.
But I think that's that.
I tried to bluff you.
I think it's another thing though, if you are going to make a move on someone in a race, like make it decent, like don't just get to the front and then slow down, because it just gives away that that person's not feeling that great.
Yeah, but I'd much rather see people make a move that doesn't turn into a good move than not even making a move.
Yeah.
It's the same with passing someone. If you're going to come up and pass someone, don't dawdle past them.
Yeah, like, and give them
this little bit of a sniff. Yeah, pass them on the other side of the road. Like, don't let them get any sort of hint that you might be struggling or that was hard work getting up to them. You know,
remember that 5K in Melbourne, Moose? That B grade on the track one, when I put like 6 seconds in you in the last 300? That was a move. I'm going to find that on social media. We're going to put it on our socials.
I was about to bring up Berlin Marathon 2017 when I come up to you and I fucking looked after you for about 3K.
Took you 7K to get away from me that day, though. This was a bomb in 100 metres.
Fucking giving you drinks and patting you on the back and wiping your tears off your face.
Yeah, we'll have a bit of experience there. All right, we're done. What's coming up in your life, Bradley? This time next week you'll have a baby, actually. By the time people listen to this, you'll have a baby probably.
Should definitely have a baby by this time next week.
Do you know if you're having a boy or a girl?
Don't know.
Mystery.
I think it's a boy. Viv thinks it's a girl.
Do you have a preference or you just don't care?
No, I don't care.
As long as they're healthy.
Yeah, I just think it's a boy because this pregnancy's been way different to the other one. Like the baby's been like super active, and I just think it's a boy compared to, compared to how the last pregnancy was.
So you're just waiting for that to happen, Moose. What are you doing?
All good, all good. Just doing my thing.
Just doing your thing. We're done, boys.
Cool.
Time to go to bed.
Yeah. See you later.
See you, boys. Have a good week, Brad. All the best for everything.
Kids, thanks, guys. Doesn't matter if it don't come back.